Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Oh yeah, we have entered winning time here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. It is a Texans Ticket Tuesday. And so in this hour, this one right here, one that we are existing in this current moment, we will be giving away a pair of tickets to the Jaguars game in the bullpen, front row.
Big time.
Big time.
You've never, I've been down there. I've been in that row.
And
it's big time.
By the way, if Vegas is to be believed, this game opened as a 4.5-point favorite, or the Texans opened as a 4.5-point favorite. Apparently that line has moved. Is that right, Lopez?
The line has gone. It started at 3.5, went to 4.5 yesterday. It is now 6. And that is not a testament, a criticism of the Texans. That's how bad the Jags were last night.
And, buddy, they looked like it.
Yeah.
They definitely looked like it. So keep it locked right here. Somebody said, when do I call for the Texas ticket? Not quite yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I might have to confess when that happens, when we get there. Right now, though, do you have confidence in this Texans offensive line? Because one thing I could tell you, the head coach of this team, D'Amico Ryans, he seems to still have some confidence.
No, for sure. Our offensive line, they'll get it going. They'll do exactly what we need them to do. They had some really good reps in the game. Everybody likes to talk about the negative reps. We had a lot of good protection in the game where we completed a lot of deep passes in the middle of the field. We had a lot of explosive plays that were made, and we had really good protection. So I don't let a few bad plays dictate of who we are. I know who we are, and I know how our guys will respond. So I'm excited about our O-line and what's in front of them.
Excited?
I think this is a personality thing when it comes to D'Amico.
I think this
Ryans
is coach speak.
In some ways.
He's not saying that stuff to them. He's just not.
D'Amico is somewhat of a player's coach. Like I think that comes across. And I asked you and Sean this earlier before the show rather. And I don't know if I explained myself very well, but I think you got where I was going. Where I was like, is he kind of similar to Mike Tomlin in some ways? And Mike Tomlin just projects a little bit different, right? He projects a little
bit
more.
He's a little. He's
Mike Tomlin a little harsher.
The way I put it, Figgy, is Tomlin is a little. D'Amico's a little softer around the edges. He's not a soft coach. Don't get me wrong.
And I think that's what I wanted to get to. Is like Tomlin. I think people refer to him as kind of like a player's coach, funny enough.
Yeah,
right?
But he's rougher around the edges.
But there's a standard that he holds tight to. I think D'Amico is more of that. But when it comes down to the ways that he goes in the media and the public, mm-hmm. he defends his guys.
Yeah.
And that is nice to see, right? But it can be frustrating in moments like this where he's like, I have a lot of confidence in this team. And I feel like that is true in that he believes in the potential. But what he's saying can't be right. And what we've heard from the likes of Aziz Alshaair from when he was coached and by him in San Francisco, Jimmy Ward also mentioned
Jimmy Ward told us on this show.
Right. He talked about it like, you know, the way that D'Amico will go through video and he'll just kind of be laughing. But, you know, he's dead serious. It's almost like almost a scary laugh where you're like, oh, man, he mean that. Right. Yeah. I think that there is a level of standard that he's capable of set. However, with, you know, all of that aside, what confidence level do you have in this offensive line
at
this point?
That's a great way, and it's a very straightforward way, but it's a great way to ask, what kind of confidence do you have? I have confidence that they can be, you know, very good, not just good, very good. I don't have confidence in the offensive line because of how they're playing pre-snap. You know, Laremy Tunsil is the lightning run. By the way, Figgy, I double-checked this because I saw it on Twitter. Laremy Tunsil's Wikipedia page. Allow me to read the first sentence.
Oh, we got some editing. Man. That's Wikipedia editing. Oh, here we go.
Allow me to read the first sentence. Laremy Alexander Tunsil, I like that middle name, is an American professional football offensive tackle and false starter for the Houston Texans.
Oh, wow. You're not wrong. You're not supposed to say.
So,
not wrong.
That's where we are. You know, I have confidence in how they can play. I don't have confidence in how they are focused on this game, how they are remaining focused, how they perform pre-snap. So it's really two answers because they're not getting the job done. It is mostly Laremy Tunsil. He's the lightning rod. But it is not just him by any stretch.
Yeah. The thing for me when it comes to answering this question on confidence is it is split in two ways, but it's passing and running, right? I do have confidence that if they clean up the penalties, which that is a little bit of a crapshoot within itself, or at least minimize the penalties, because again, it's kind of wild that, you know, listen to Andre Ward and he's like, I should expect this. And we've come to expect.
Andre Ware.
Damn, how did I do that? I knew I was going to do that eventually, and I sure did. I apologize to Andre Ware, Heisman winner. Andre,
yes, sir.
Like, I got to put respect on that man's name. So, do I need to put money in the hat for that?
No.
Okay. I don't know. I just want to make sure that I'm making amends in the ways that I should.
Honestly, I don't know why I get upset about it anymore. I should have come to expect it.
That's right, Andre Ware, not Andre Ward. But yeah, with all that being, I made him into a boxer. That's stupid. But yeah, like, there is an expectation that these things are going to happen, and that's frustrating in its own right. But like, just for the point of being successful, minimize those things and don't shoot yourself in the foot to this degree, and you could still do some things. The problem is that I lack confidence in being able to run the football. That's and it's kind of crazy that that's one of the big things that came out of this game for me. But I was like, oh, this just isn't going to happen, is it? Right, like running the football with behind this offensive line feels like it just isn't going to happen without individual acts of brilliance. We saw that with that one particular play with Cam Akers doing a spin-a-rooney to get himself yards on a play that was not blocked up. We talked about that up and down when it came to week one with Joe Mixon having 159s and 101 of those came after contact. Yeah. That is a place that is really frustrating to me because now you're getting more dimensional and teams like Brian Flores' defense can tee off on you offensively.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Such an important game coming up. You would think, okay, just paint by numbers, you know, just get it done. Win. I think you it has to be a pretty win for the offensive line. It has to be a pretty win. And by the way, I don't know. I'm thinking of this as I'm saying the words. Has Kenyon Green been the most consistent player on the offensive line? How weird would that be? How weird would that be? Kenyon Green, the most consistent.
Well, yeah, if we go through it, like, I think you had Titus Howard had some struggles.
Yeah.
One of the things about Shaq Mason.
And false starts.
Yes, he did. Shaq Mason, like, you might be able to try and put him up here.
Maybe,
but
him.
I will never get out of my mind the image of, I can't even remember who on the defensive line, darting right past him during the course of this game, where I was like, oh,
Juice missed time.
Juice mixed time, but it probably is juice in some ways because I think that in listening to Ross Tucker as he was talking to Payne and Pendergast this morning, Tucker did bring up some of the things, and that is an offensive line eye. He played offensive line, was a journeyman in this league, pointed to the idea that some of those things that happened with Tunsil, not to give him, absolve him of his issues, some of those were like the guard next to him not picking up the responsibilities. And sometimes those types of things happen where one guy looks bad on an NFL field and it's because somebody else wasn't doing their job. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so Kenyon Green, I think that there is some tough things in there. And if you are inclined to believe Pro Football Focus grades, he is graded as the lowest offensive lineman thus far this season. So, like, I do want to be careful about not being like he's the most consistent. But the problem is I had to go through all of
but
that.
But what I'm saying is, I had to have the whole conversation. Is it that, we can talk about him in that vein. Now, and then you talk about, do you have confidence in this offensive line? I think the bigger question is, do you have confidence that they will do what it takes to get the offensive line right? And that's where I mentioned it to B. Scott and you earlier. And I'm mentioning it now to the listener, 713-572-4610. Where's the line? And I don't mean that as an offensive line. Where's the line that you draw, you know, where, okay, if Laremy Tunsil does this again, if he has two false starts against the Jaguars, is he still good?
I think Blake Fisher comes in. Like, I think that it's got to be.
I mean.
I don't know if it's immediately the one, although that would definitely do a good job of setting the example, like, hey, man, sick of it, right? Yeah. And I talked about yesterday with you, right? You were like on the bench. And I think that it might be more effective if it's like, hey, you're out there, but your leash is short, mm-hmm. right? And then acting on that. But I do want to go to D'Amico Ryans I talked to the media yesterday. And he was asked specifically on if Laremy Tunsil has to practice, you know, getting set and getting off, or if it's just something that, you know, he, you know, has.
Yeah, we know where the line, LT, he knows where to align. And we just have to do a better job of getting it done.
I love this. And it's such
you did.
I did.
Because I didn't hear it. I don't think I heard it the way
you didn't
did.
Hear it the way I heard it. Because basically, Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard were making excuses. Yeah, Laremy Tunsil said after the game, they're calling my name, but we all have to have accountability. That's not accountability. Titus Howard said, hey, the referees did, you know, told us one thing. And I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said they told us one thing and called it another way.
Yeah, they were inconsistent.
That's not accountability. I love the fact that D'Amico Ryans said he knows where to line up. He just has to do it. That I think that's making it more making Laremy Tunsil more accountable. I really do.
Yeah, and I guess I have to filter these things through knowing that D'Amico is going to kind of protect his guys, mm-hmm. and then D'Amico has that seemingly jovial kind of a response, even though, you know, underneath there might be a little bit more than meets the eye. But it almost sounded like a status quo.
Okay.
In the way that, and I think that's the thing that really gets under the skin of all the Texans fans right now, is that it feels like Laremy Tunsil and the way that they're going about this is status quo, right? And actually here, I think it's a great time to transition to Payne and Pendergast from earlier. I think Seth Payne, former defensive lineman and noted dude who is very upset and through with Laremy Tunsil, was talking about the mentality of this offensive line. I found this to be pretty poignant.
Look, man. This is where I feel like it's coming to roost in a lot of ways. There's such a mismatch between D'Amico Ryans' whole persona and the way he operates. Yeah, D'Amico Ryans, ultimate football dude. C.J. Stroud, ultimate football dude. Texans offensive line, they care a lot about Instagram and fashion, man. You know, like it's there, and it's the position group that you would hope is the most. Just barroom brawling, dirty, grungy, poor personal hygiene dudes. That's what you want out of your offensive line.
No.
And that's certainly not the culture of the Texans offensive line.
Now, I personally wouldn't take it to, like, you know, fashion and Instagram, because I don't think that's necessarily like a mutually exclusive thing where if you do that, then you absolutely cannot.
What about the stinking?
Well, I mean, I would hope that you could be able to wash a keister and still be able to block. But I think what he's getting at is something I absolutely agree with, which is there needs to be a nastiness when it comes to the offensive line. You need to be able to go out there and impose your will, mm-hmm. right? And it feels like this offensive line does not have that particular mentality, which is tough. Like, we see that in the run game. Like, going typically offensive linemen, they like the run game because that's the fun part. You can go out, you have the upper hand, you're on the front foot, you can go and impact a defense, and then you finish them off. And it feels like that's something you don't see with this offensive line.
Well, how many times, I think it kind of reflects the questions that we were just, I mean, the accountability thing that I was just talking about.
Yeah.
Like, Titus Howard, they tell us one thing and do another. Laremy Tunsil, well, they called my name, but, you know, it might, we all got to do it. That's what also in play here. Like, where's the big dude, the tackles, the two bookend tackles standing up and saying, what frankly, Trevor Lawrence said the other day, we sucked. Trevor Lawrence said it.
Yeah.
We sucked, you know, and these guys are like, target on my back, blah, 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 blah. That's part of the equation too.
Yeah. Trevor Lawrence might be trying to get the coach fired, to be honest.
Well, but okay. Yeah. But yeah, either way.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But the same thing. Like, and that's what I think Seth's talking about. The guys that are just like, they're mad. They're not making excuses.
Yeah, and I think ultimately it needs to be like, don't care about anything else but get the job done. Yeah. It's the mentality that you need. And right now it doesn't feel like so. When it comes to confidence on this offensive line, that's the thing that gives me pause. When it comes to like the talent capability, yeah, it's there. And I mean, that is in some ways evidenced by the fact that you put a whole bunch of money in this offensive line. That is that you paid in order to be able to have talent. With that talent needs to be paired with this mentality to get the job done.
Yeah.
And as of right now, that is still out to be seen, right? That remains to be seen from this offensive line.
So the confidence level, to come full circle with how we started this conversation, is high if they pull their heads.
Out of their keisters, right? Yes. No, I'll finish the statement for you. Yeah. Out of their keisters, yes.
I have good confidence in how they can play if they pull their heads.
Out of their keisters.
Out of their keisters.
Yeah, I just want to make sure we finish that off. You're in the loop. Sports Radio 610. Thanks for rocking with us. Of course, it's John Lopez, Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald Datatula. Keep it locked. We are giving away a pair of Texans tickets to the Jags game this Sunday. They're in the bullpen, front row. You'll want to have that. And you want to keep it locked. It's coming up next. Let's get into some lunchtime confessions.
Sometimes it's sports. Sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions. Brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions.
I got to tell you, they're relatively commonplace. Man, I love a big man touchdown.
Who doesn't?
I just love a big man touchdown. And the celebration, did y'all check that out?
No.
I can't explain exactly what it is. I should know, but I don't. But this happened, of course.
Late clock, they don't. With 3 seconds left, Daniels flips. He's got another, and this time it's Trent Scott. The big tackle was the extra offensive line.
All right, you got to help
like that. That looked like some fraternity type stuff.
Watch the celebration, man. That was just fantastic. Oh, they didn't show. There we go.
Oh, yeah, no, that's definitely Q-Dogs for sure, 100%. That was definitely the
Q-Dogs. That's exactly what it looked like.
Yeah. Omega Sci-Fi, shout out to
them. When you got a 320-pound dude doing that, come on now.
Yeah, man.
How do you not love shout a out big to, man?
I bet he was sick that he didn't have his golden boots on in that moment. Yeah, man. But yeah, love a big man touchdown,
it's
man.
The
those,
best.
Those are the best. I appreciated it back in the day when SB Nation put together the Peisman Trophy for the college football players where they tried to give away the trophy for the best big man touchdown because we all love him. It's always great, man. Mm-hmm. Anytime we get to see a portly athlete plying their trade, it makes America happy.
Yes, it does.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
I might be kind of souring on the 3 TV setup thing.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to stop because I'm, I just hard-headed. But one thing I've realized, as I mentioned last night, I had both Monday Night Football games on and the Astros game. And one thing I've realized for me is just like the attention span feels like it's getting worse for me. Like, and you've seen this a little bit, Lopez, where I'll just be like, what was I just doing?
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I feel like the 3 TV setup might be doing some of that, like just trying to jump around from one thing to the next. And I hate to have to admit it, but it might be a problem.
So what'd you have on that made you realize this?
I mean, it's been over the weekend as well with college football, especially on Saturday, because it felt like a slate where it was like, oh, there's not a ton. But then as you were going through, there was a lot of things that were kind of interesting. And so I found myself shifting all 3 TVs at various times to get to, oh, well, that game's on, so which one of these can I let go? And I just found myself just kind of jumping around and not feeling like I had a good grasp of some of these games. And I was like, oh, okay, this might not be working.
See,
that is a to go.
That is a pitfall, isn't it? Like, you don't really, you got so much, what is it, information overload that you don't really catch enough of one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Which in the past, I actually haven't had too much of an issue with. People have brought it up like, oh, this is going to be an issue. And I was like, I mean, I think I'm handling it pretty well. Yeah. I'm not handling it as well as I used to. And I'm wondering if this is just like a deterioration thing or if it's just if it'll pass. We're going to try and make it pass, honestly.
But you only have the volume on one, of course.
No.
See, that's the problem. The problem. No, you cannot have you have to have the volume
You're
only.
You're a damn serial killer. Only. If you got all 3 TVs on.
You can only have the volume on
most of the time I'll have two.
No.
But
not even two.
I when I'm, and maybe it's just
I haven't gotten
into real form yet. Because when I'm in form, all the audio's on, and then I can kind of just focus on whichever one.
Your confession,
I want to watch at the point in time.
Your confession. The reason why I have mass murderer tendencies.
The reason why you have it on, right, is why I have the audio on for all of those is that if a big play happens on one of these where you want to change,
then you can flip it.
You hear it.
A remote in your hand.
You hear it. Sports
don't even have all the volumes up, man. One game.
That's because y'all not real.
Dude, you messed that. Your confession was wrong.
Y'all not real.
Your confession was, I'm getting, you know, brain lock here with all the. Dude, you have a remote in your hand. Just flip it over. Mute one. Turn the other one up when a big play happens.
Yeah, but you don't know the big play is happening.
You're looking at it.
Well, you're paying attention to one at a time.
Well, then don't audio, have three TVs.
Nah, I definitely don't have three TVs. I'll never stop. You can't stop me.
That's crazy. Watch this.
I'm having some TV issues too, man. Yeah. So I was watching Monday Night Football game last night, and the wifey, she jumped up and went in the other room to do something. I'm like, what's going on? She was kind of panicking a little bit. And she was like, oh, man, I missed my show 911. I didn't know it came back on today.
Oh.
So I think I'm in a dilemma now, because right now we only got one TV in the house, which is totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
But so I guess one of them 911s, I don't know if it's Lone Star or the regular one.
Yeah.
One of them come on Monday night at 7.
Oh.
And the other one, the other 911 come on Thursday night
at
7.
That is ridiculous.
Sound like you about to be watching some games on your phone.
Yeah, or just hit record and tell her you can watch this later.
Exactly. Yeah. We're going to have to come up with some. I can't wait to move, because I'm going to get another TV for the other part of the house. But I'm like, man, what is wrong with not? That show ain't that damn good. I think it's supposed to get canceled pretty soon.
One of them
Why y'all coming on Monday night and Thursday night?
Here's your strategy. Baby, honey, what do you call her?
Sweetie.
Oh, that's adorable.
One of these shows has to be watched live, and that's the game. The other one doesn't have to be. The other one's going to be there. But the game has to be watched live. And here's the other one. It's my job.
Yeah, doing it for work is the ultimate out.
It's my job.
Either that or I'm going to a bar.
You don't want me going to a bar.
Oh, you can, I can watch 911 anytime. Here you go, buddy. Here's the remote.
Exactly.
I mean, the bar's not a bad play. Watch this.
These are my confessions. These last 2 days have been a little bit scary for your guy here.
Uh-oh.
I've always said about AI, oh, it's going to be great. I think it's overplayed. You know, it helps so many people. It kind of streamlines a lot of things for us all, answers questions. So I've been playing around with AI the last couple of days.
See, that's your problem.
Yeah. Look, man, I've been digging in. Like, what else can it do? And, oh, can it do this? I'm talking like pictures, videos, you know, some of these other things.
Oh, so you just taking energy off the grid for no reason?
No reason. Gotcha. Just digging in. I just got fascinated with AI. It's scary, dude. Like, it is scary. Like, I asked for a video. Can you do a video of blah, blah, blah? I forget exactly what it was. And it came up, and I was like, holy moly. And so then I dug into, like, I did the old Google search on, you know, what are the dangers of AI? Don't ever do that. Because they're talking about, like, taking over workforces and disrupting society and all that.
And some of this has been,
I'm sure,
in some ways overplayed because some of the things that has been promised from AI actually can't be delivered by AI at this point.
But then here's the scariest thing of all that I read when I did that Google search, or maybe it was an AI search. I don't remember.
Okay, very good. I mean, Google is trying to force feed the AI down. Yeah, I'm like, hey, cut that out.
They said we are going down a path that within the next 3 years, AI will be able to do things without human assistance.
Yeah.
You went full Skynet?
I got scared.
That kind of been the talk for a couple years.
I got scared, man.
I think the scary part about AI for me personally is how it's going into the music game now. How you got all, if you search like whatever artist you want to listen to and search AI track, it's actually some tracks out there that sound just like a Drake or Kanye West. That's made from AI that they didn't even do.
Yeah.
And so the scary part is people can make money off of that. They can use your voice and all that stuff.
Yes.
And make money off of it, or make a statement that you never said.
Have you dug in at all?
No.
Don't.
Because I look, well, as far as like actually utilizing
like that,
AI,
like videos and audios,
I don't think they can do. No,
and,
I mean, well, I keep up with generally some of the things that are happening with it, but like I keep up with reporting on it. I'm not going to mess with AI. Also, I just kind of have like a moral disagreement with the amount of energy that it uses and stuff. Like, hey, this does not feel like it is a good trade off.
It is some good things for AI.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. And I've been saying that.
Sure.
Yes, yeah. Especially when it comes to music, because you got somebody like Benny Siegel who voice don't really sound the same. And I heard he was working on an album and AI, he was using AI to restore his voice.
Yeah.
And I think the same thing with the Beatles. I think it was somebody from the Beatles who recorded something, finishing it up with AI.
Yeah.
So it's some good benefits, but it's scary.
Yeah.
Man.
I mean, like a lot of technology, right? Like there's a lot of clearly good uses for it. And I mean, developing it, I'm sure, is a good thing. We got to do it.
But using it without human assistance?
You got to use it in a way that makes sense.
Yikes.
You're going to get replaced by AI.
Hey, it's only a matter of time.
All right. Watch this. These are my confessions. If I have to pick between what we sometimes get when it comes to seeing injury replays and never getting injury replays, I'm 100% picking injury replays. I don't think we ever need to see an injury replay ever.
I think I'm with you.
Right, like I understand that there might be certain instances where it's better to get an idea of what's happening, or you know, get another look at it. I'd rather just never see the injury again. Tell me what happened.
I think I'm with you.
I can't remember which game. I should have written it down, but it was a game in the college space on Saturday where something happened. And I was just like, why are we seeing the replay?
Yeah,
what is happening? Like, please stop doing this.
Yeah, I felt like Thursday Night Football. I want to say it was last week. What was the game where Tua got hurt again? I had the concussion.
Yeah.
I felt like they did a good job with not keep showing it, because I know the first time that happened with him, they kept showing it.
Yeah.
Where his hands and fingers twisted.
Yeah, the fencing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I seen that play. I seen the recent one, the play live, and I was just like, oh, no.
Yeah.
And I felt like they did a good job with not keep showing that. And I didn't need to see that again.
Most,
man.
I think you're right. Most we don't need to see. Yeah, it's a bad injury. Let's move on and continue. And now it may desensitize you a little bit to the game, but I don't care.
No, and I think for me personally, I don't think that's as much of an issue. But I think that's a fair point to bring up is that, hey, remembering that the dangers of this is still the car crash sport. But I'm just like, I'd rather not. Watch this.
These are my confessions. I don't know if this documentary is ever going to happen, but I feel like so much drama been going on with turkey leg cut.
Oh, yeah. I did.
Yeah. I'm kind of hoping.
It's out of there, right? They done shut this thing down?
Kind of, yes and no. So the health department came in and shut it down for a few days because of the, they say they had 35 health code violations.
Oh, my God. Just Google for me, and I mean, avoid the AI portion of it. And if you're driving, of course, you're excluded from this. But Google turkey leg hut. Don't put anything else. Just Google turkey leg hut, and just the you know, wide reach of various things. You got bankruptcy things. You got
fires,
hazard health. And I'm just like, good God,
yeah.
Them turkey legs had to be real good.
Well, I ain't eating anymore.
To be sustained through all this.
I ain't eating anymore.
The funny part about this is, like, I whenever this is all said and done, I want to see this documentary. But during this whole health violation thing, Turkey Leg on their official Instagram posted, they said, hey, Turkey Leg Hut fam, we will be closed this Friday through Sunday for some exciting renovations.
Mm-hmm.
This is right after the report of the 35 health violations.
Some exciting renovations, including mopping and cleaning.
Yeah, that's exactly. Getting that rat feces out of here. Yeah. Allegedly, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what actually.
Keeping the turkeys out the utility closet.
Right, exactly.
We're actually going to plug in the refrigerator.
Oh, God. Where's Marvin Zinlin when you need him? Rest in peace,
no
right?
Kid.
Like that's the
slime in the ice.
Clean the slime.
That's exactly where he needs to be. All right, those are your confessions on a Tuesday here on In the Loop. Actually, it's a Texans Ticket Tuesday.
You're so darn right.
713-572-4610. Caller number seven will receive a pair of tickets to Jags Texans in the bullpen front row. You want these tickets again. 713-572-4610 is the number to call. Caller number seven, you'll get a chance to do that and go on our dime. I hope you enjoy that. But coming up next, Let's do a little college football on a Tuesday, revisit some of the things that happened in the college football weekend. We'll do that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. You got Lopez, you got Fig, you got myself, Reginald Atitula. Hope you're having a wonderful Tuesday. We're about to get into some college football on the Tuesday, but I did want to shout out to Cam Akers, obviously, for doing his thing Sunday. But more importantly, today he was out there with along with the Texans cheerleaders visiting a children's hospital. You know, going out there, being out amongst the people at the Houston Methodist West Hospital in the Crucial Catch NFL Initiative partnership with the American Cancer Society to raise awareness for early detection and risk of reduction when it comes to cancer. So shout out to him and the Texans cheerleaders for being out and amongst the people in the community.
Oh, it was cool because this is their only day off, in essence.
Same right, day, right.
When they do stuff like that, just nice.
So wanted to make sure to do that. But also, let's get into some college football on a Tuesday where there were some fun college football things this weekend, including I thought was really fun seeing Ohio State jumped. So shout out to you, Fig. They went to number two in the poll.
Yeah, you kind of scared me a little bit, man. I saw your tweet, and I think you tweeted, what's going on with Ohio State? And I was busy doing something else, so I wasn't seeing what was going on. I'm like, oh, man.
What happened now?
Yeah, so I checked the score. I'm like, oh, okay. He probably just overreacted a little bit.
I mean, maybe.
That's how I'd be. I think that's how we all be. That first, when they go three and out or something in the first quarter, we like, oh, man.
Yep.
And then it's 60 to zip.
All right. Now, outside of that, like, you want to talk about this Hugh Freeze thing in some ways.
I do. And I'm not proud of this. I'm not proud of what I'm about to say, okay? But it's kind of a post-confession confession. So Hugh Freeze is getting torched right now, right?
As he should.
I don't disagree.
He stinks.
He stinks. He's not a great dude. He really isn't. In fact, when he threw his players under the bus, and Figgy, we do have the audio. Let's hear this first.
Unfortunately, this is what I know, and I know that there's people open, and I know that we're running the football. And we got to find a guy that won't throw it to the other team. And we got to find running backs that hold on to it. You know, that's a huge play there. I mean, we're going in to score. I don't know, what was it, 7-0 then? Or so it was 7-7, and our defense gets a stop, and who knows what happens. But, you know, the scheme is what most everybody in the country is running some sort of. But you've got to have a good play at quarterback for sure to at whatever system you're going to choose.
Now, it is worth noting, Hugh Freeze, head coach at Auburn, they lost to Arkansas this weekend, 24-14. And when he talks about that, they had Hank Brown out there quarterbacking, who threw three interceptions on his own. Peyton Thorne, who was previously the guy, he also was in this game, and he threw an interception himself. So, like, the quarterback play has been down.
Yeah, and they put the ball on the turf. And so I'm glad you brought that up, because let me just reiterate, I'm not a Hugh Freeze fan. In fact, I'm the opposite of a fan. And his former quarterback at Ole Miss, Bo Wallace, like, eviscerated
him. Yeah, he don't like that man.
Like,
at all.
He had success under Hugh Freeze, but he said this guy is just, you know, he throws former players away like garbage once he's used them.
Also, he's a real weird dude when it comes to the media in general. He searches his own name. He hides behind religion at times, to be completely honest.
But with all that backdrop, you don't like him, I don't like him. He's a weird dude.
Correct.
He's not a good dude. Here's my confession post confession. Well, it's two parts. Would you rather he lied? Because that's four interceptions, man. And if D'Amico Ryan said that, or any NFL head coach said that about a pro, you'd be saying, hey, all right, he's holding them accountable, he's putting him out. But he's also not a good dude, so I kind of am feel a little weird about saying that.
Let me help you out here, Lopez. I don't want you to run any more string out here at this point. The problem with that is, hey, man, it'd be one thing if it was an NFL head coach. They are not charged with getting their own groceries. You run the whole program, and y'all decided not to go and get into the transfer portal or get another quarterback.
Sure.
Peyton Thorne been there. Peyton Thorne been like this. Like, they have known that Peyton Thorne can't do this. I'm not going to be lie to you. I don't know exactly what Hank Brown is on. Mm-hmm. But Hank Brown is a freshman, And I do not believe that Hank Brown necessarily would have been a guy that you came in feeling like he was going to be the thing. Like, no, you had an opportunity to go get something that was more of a sure thing, right?
I get
it. I don't know. I don't like the idea that you're out here like, well, we got to go get a quarterback who can do this. You had an opportunity. You passed. Mm-hmm. You balked on it. Don't get out here and throw them boys under the bus now.
No, I get it. And it shouldn't, you know, part of me says shouldn't do it. But then there's the second part of my point on Hugh Freeze. I think we might see more of this in the future from more head coaches in college because of NIL. They're paying these cats money, man. They're paying these cats, some of them, a lot of money.
Well, when you say they, who's paying them?
Well, the program.
Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. Not yet, right? We're veering toward that place.
The program via the NIL.
Well, that money is coming from local business and those types of things. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things that I absolutely hate about the likening of NIL to like actually paying the players directly like as employees, because what you're telling them is you can go get that money elsewhere, right? Like now programs are getting a little bit more involved in, you know, kind of directing that money.
That's what I'm saying.
But they're not paying them.
I guarantee Hugh Freeze knows
That's why Hugh Freeze's money is so big, is because the school ain't paying the players.
No, I get it. But I guarantee you Hugh Freeze knows exactly what every one of his big-time players is making. Guarantee you that he knows. And so I think that's kind of like a factor here. Like these guys are now making a lot. And trust me, I support it. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying I think we might see more of this. Because like, dude, we brought this cat in for $700,000 or whatever. And this is what I'm getting. I think he's a horrible individual, but I do think as much as he should also take accountability, he's being honest.
Yeah.
They stunk.
But they weren't good. But again, I feel like we might see more of this. I don't think you're wrong in that regard. Mm-hmm. But when you do see that, it is highly likely that you're talking about a bad coach. Because especially still in college football, still a majority of that power and that capability of getting something done resides with the person who's at the top of that program.
Absolutely.
That's the head coach. And in that instance, it's Hugh Freeze. Again, here you go passing the buck when it comes down to you.
Yeah.
Some other things that happen in college football. Michigan out here thumping on folks in a way where, and I know you're not super excited to talk about this, Fig, but I did not necessarily think Michigan still had this. It felt like this was going to be kind of the cigar year in a way where you win and won your championship, and if it steps back a little bit, everybody was going to be cool. It did not seem like, you know, maybe the trenches weren't going to be as strong as they previously were. It felt like they had just, you know, they built up, they got their shot, and then this was going to be a little bit of a step back year. And no, against USC, they got a 27-24 win, where they ran the damn football.
They sure did.
Even Alex Orji, who's the quarterback for Michigan, he ran for more yards than he threw for.
Yes,
like,
he
they
did.
Just decided that they were going to run it all down USC.
They absolutely did. And that's what made me start thinking about just my college football sort of vibe right now in general.
32 passing yards in this game.
32 passing yards. This past weekend, this early season especially, kind of feels like the 1990s. Texas is just reloading and got quarterbacks, you know, coming out the kazoo.
Yeah.
Michigan is running the ball because they don't care about doing anything else.
Although before you go on Texas, right, move on from Texas. Are you in the group of people that are like, oh, Quinn Ewers got to watch his back. Arch going to keep this?
Well, I don't know if I'm – I think there's some reality there. I think there's some truth there.
I think Arch still shows himself to be like a young quarterback setting protections and those things that Quinn Ewers has better at. So when he's healthy, he'll be back.
Yeah, but when most of the fans say it, it becomes a thing.
Yeah, and I guess that's the added level when you're talking about college football. What do the boosters say? Because are they going to impact what happens here? Anyways, you were saying.
Wasn't a Chance Mock that was right behind Vince Young, and they're like, oh, this Chance Mock guy – got to watch him. No, you don't. No, you really don't. So Texas is just reloading and got quarterbacks, you know, like I said, you know, more than they can know what to do with. Michigan is running the ball because they don't like it. They don't need to pass. Miami is looking like 90s Miami. Miami might have a Heisman winner.
Cam Ward is a baller.
Colorado completed a Hail Mary just like Cordell Stewart, you know, did against Michigan.
Boy, Dave Aranda might, not even might. Enjoy your last season in Waco, buddy.
Yeah. And the last time Tennessee looked this dominant was three Mannings ago.
Yeah. And, I mean, shout out to Tennessee because Tennessee played Oklahoma, and they, in Norman, mind you, and they handled that incredibly well. Like, it was very evident. Not only did they win that one, what was it, 22-19, if I remember correctly, 25-15.
Mm-hmm.
Apologies. But in the course of that, like, Tennessee was content to just let their defense do this. Tennessee is a high-flying offense and has been.
They didn't have to do anything
else. And they were like, we are capable of just letting our defense do this, which one, Tennessee has an SEC-caliber defense, which doesn't happen all the time. But two, like they were capable of doing that, especially with changing their identity. I thought that was really impressive. Oklahoma, the defense is great, and they're being pulled down by an embarrassing offense right now, even so much so that Jackson Arnold, who was kind of the star boy that they were expecting to be at quarterback.
Benched?
Yeah, he's benched. Michael Hawkins, the freshman that came in during the course of that game and made something go late, he's going to be the guy that goes for Oklahoma next week.
Yeah, and I don't care how good you are and how storied your program is, whether it's Oklahoma, Texas, or anyone. You ultimately will have a welcome to the SEC moment. Just because it's just week after week after week and lineman after lineman after lineman. I'm not saying Texas is going to get...
I think they get Mississippi State this week, which is a terrible SEC team this year.
I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I'm saying they're going to have a surprise. Maybe not a loss, but they're going to have one where they get... Ooh, that's what it's like in the SEC.
And Texas fans, and I say this with love to Texas fans, they're about to be obnoxious because I'm actually not sure that they'll have that moment, and they might get to walk into the SEC and be the cream of the crop right now, and it might happen in year two or whatever.
Yeah.
But right now, think about it. Texas walking into the SEC and being the top of it, that's an annoying fan base.
No, they're going to have one. They may not lose it.
They may win,
but they're going to, it happens to Alabama. When during the Saban years, like where they were all of a sudden, Mississippi State beat him with Dak Prescott. Johnny Manziel year. And that's just one example. I mean, everybody has that, it just wears on you. The SEC is just one of those that.
All I heard is it just means more. All right.
It SEC just means more.
All right, I got you.
It just
means some more. Other things that happened over the weekend when it comes to college football. Realignment is not dead yet. Pac-12 is finding its legs as Boise State, Colorado State, San Diego State, Fresno State. We knew that they were joining the Pac-12 from the Mountain West. Well, Utah State agreed as well. They will also leave the Mountain West for the Pac-12 in 2026. Although the Pac-12 wasn't able to get the big coup, they were aiming for some American Athletic Conference schools, Memphis, UCF.
Tulane
was one of those as well. There's another one that I'm forgetting off the top of my head. Oh, yeah, and then UTSA. They were trying to get those schools. Those schools all said that they'll remain in the American. But the Pac-12, after getting down to two schools and all of us looking around like, yeah, they're about to die off, they're finding a way to claw their way into remaining up there. I don't know if they'll get to kind of be some level of power conference again, because it doesn't feel like what they're putting together is enough to give them that power status, but at least the Pac-12 will live. And maybe live long enough to give some money to Reggie Bush, because Reggie Bush is suing the Pac-12 along with USC and the NCAA in seeking compensation over NIL when it comes to money that he feels like he missed during that time. And he is not the only one that is suing the NCAA. They got maybe three different lawsuits, including kind of a class action one going on right now. NCAA is in hell.
First on the Pac-12, they're still going to die. That is not exactly anything that's going to move the needle, so to speak. But the Reggie Bush thing, keep an eye on that, man.
Yeah.
I mean, what's Johnny going to get?
Yeah, that's interesting.
What's Johnny going to get?
That's interesting if they actually do come around and you have more players than going back and suing the NCAA. They're already trying to utilize the house suit right now to try and get a settlement so that they can continue to have some level of amateurism that looks a little bit more like pro, even though it's already pro sports. It's only going to get bad if Reggie Bush one is successful and all these other players are well, I'm going to get my pound of flesh throughout this as well. That's some of the college football on a Tuesday after a pretty fun weekend in college football, but we're getting into conference play where it's going to get even more fun going forward. All right, you're in the loop. Sports Radio 610. Somebody said no love to Texas State is crazy. Texas State is joining the Pac-12. I do want to make sure to salute them for that. So you get to be the powers out there. Hope that is enjoyable.
All due respect.
All right, coming up next.
I don't know.
Who's good? Who's elite in the NFL? Because early on, it hasn't felt like there's a lot of teams, if at all. At least I feel like we might have added one for certain after Monday Night Football. Let's parse that and see where the Texans fall next.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.